This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
Chris Graham is the founder and the editor at the Augusta Free Press. You can learn more online at augustafreepress.com, and he joins me on the long line over the mountain with our Valley Update. How are you, sir?
Great, Coy. How's life over in Charlottesville?
It's very good. Let me ask you real first how the Generals are doing. They're playing this summer?
Yeah, our season ended. The Generals failed to make the playoffs this year, first time in a few years. So my first year as general manager of the team, not as successful as we'd have liked, but we were out of the playoffs just by a couple of games. And the team from Haymarket up in Northern Virginia, which it's hard to imagine how geographically they're in the Valley, but Haymarket is in the Valley League. Haymarket won the league championship, and so the season's come to a wrap, and we're already hard at work on 2010.
There you go. Chris Graham, the Augusta Free Press. Now, Chris, bring us up to date with all these movie theaters. I was talking a few minutes ago about, I mean, when this is all built out, there's going to be more movie theaters over the mountain than there are over here.
Well, we'll see if they're all built out. I think that's a key question at this point. First one in Waynesboro that we've been talking about on your show for a few months. I think it's called Waynesboro Place. It's been put on hold, and I wonder if there might not be a relation to the second movie project, which we haven't talked about yet on your show. The owner of the Visual Light, Adam Greenbaum, the Visual Light, a restored theater in downtown Stanton, he also has taken over Vinegar Hill in Charlottesville and the Dixie Theater in downtown Stanton. He's working with a local developer named Brett Hayes on a project that would put a 10-screen, they're not even calling it a multiplex, they're calling it an omniplex, and I'll explain that in a second, theater on Ludowitt Boulevard in Waynesboro, very accessible to 64, Crozet, Charlottesville, Stanton. I mean, it's a great location as far as that goes. And the plans are so well developed, the property is already zoned for a commercial use of this nature. The dirt is expected to turn in October for a planned opening in November of 2010. So that one's actually, of all the ones we've been talking about, there was one in Stanton also that had been mentioned a few months ago as part of a development near the Stanton Country Club. This is the one that actually has, well, not just a developer, but also a theater owner who is involved in the project, and a date, November 2010. So I would say this one is the go right now of all the three.
So that looks like they do have financing, which is a rare thing to come by these days.
Yeah, the financing, the developer, Brett Hayes, is the one who, he's been searching. I've worked with him journalistically the last few years. I first knew 3 or 4 years ago with him that he was looking to use this particular parcel of property for a movie theater. And his difficulty was he had talked with some of the smaller and regional and even a couple of bigger media theater companies that might want to come into this market, and he just couldn't find anybody interested. Well, Adam Greenbaum in Stanton, whom I've also known for several years in different capacities, dating back to his renovation of the Visual Light, he had been looking, unbeknownst to me, in this one particular instance, at the Waynesboro market, saying, well, there's a great untapped market, a 24,000 population city without a movie theater. They came together around the first of this year, and so Brett has been willing all along to put up the financing as long as he had a tenant. And the way the movie theater business works, movie theater companies themselves don't build the theaters. They tend to prefer to find a developer who's willing to put up the building and take on all the costs of that nature, and then they're willing to come in and do everything they need to do to make the theater part of the business work. And so it's a symbiotic type business in that sense. And
we're talking with Chris Graham of the Augusta Free Press. Lou DeWitt Boulevard, for folks who don't know, connects 250 down to I don't know the name of that road, but
Rosser Avenue,
which is the Target exit. You get off at the Target exit where all that new buildup is, and take your first left there at the first light. That's Lou DeWitt. That's where the Waynesboro Lowe's is, right?
That's correct, yeah. The movie theater is proposed for a location just down on Ludowitt Boulevard, about, a quarter of a mile from the Lowe's, for those familiar with the lay of the land there. And it's exit 94 off the interstate, so that tells you how far away. It's 15 miles from Crozet and 25 miles, I guess, from the main Charlottesville.
Well, then, Chris, this big movie theater is going to be the movie theater of choice for Western Albemarle. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah, I mentioned omniplex as the word. We've heard cineplex and multiplex and all this. What makes this, and Adam Greenbaum is the one who's been using that term, omniplex, it's not just a movie theater. They're going to have 3D projection screens, and actually be able to do live events like streaming live rock concerts, the Super Bowl, things of that nature, to be projected on the big movie screens in there as well. So it adds a live event element that, I don't know that anywhere contiguous or close to us that in our markets here that has something like that, movie screen live event kind of thing.
Well, the Paramount Theater in Charlottesville, Paramount does live HD productions of the Metropolitan Opera out of New York.
Okay.
That's probably the only other place I can think of that does that.
Okay, something similar to that, more focused maybe on the hoi polloi type stuff of rock concerts and Super Bowls.
Right.
We have a different element to that, and certainly over here on this side of the hill, I don't know that there's anything close to us that does that. So
that is amazing.
Element, certainly.
So right near the Waynesboro Lowe's, we're looking at a massive new, what did you say, 20 screens?
10 screens.
10-screen movie theater.
Yeah.
A new 10-screen movie theater near the Lowe's in Waynesboro. The dirt turns in October. Look for it to open in 2010. That's huge news. Now, that might obviate, to borrow a word I used to use in grad school, that might make unnecessary the new movie theater that was slated to go in right by the Home Depot on the highway.
Yeah, and I don't know that that's the case. I know that the reason that project's on the table right now is for different reasons, related to the fact that the land is not zoned right now for that use, and it's part of a project. That theater is proposed as part of a project that includes residential development as well. So there have been other objections that have been raised by residents of a contiguous residential neighborhood related to the nature of the development that have put it on hold for just a bit. So, I think it certainly could render unnecessary. I don't know that Waynesboro, which hasn't had a movie theater for 10 years, and when we did, it was the Wayne Theater, which had two screens, and that was the movie theater by itself for about 40 years. I don't know that all of a sudden Waynesboro can accommodate 20, 25 screens within a mile of each other.
I'll tell you, though, I think 10 will do very well in Waynesboro when you factor in that huge market in the valley, plus Western Albemarle.
Oh, yeah, no question. I think that it's the same economic engine that's been driving all the development on that part of Waynesboro. Is the Crozet, Western Albemarle area. Also Stewart's Draft, which is about 5 or 6 miles south of Waynesboro. You draw a circle around the Crozet, Stewart's Draft, and include Waynesboro, and you got a good population of residents, maybe 75,000 residents or so.
Yeah, we're talking with Chris Graham of the Augusta Free Press. Chris, to change gears here, you wrote recently about, what's this, about the rest stops, the one that had been closed?
Yeah, the 19 rest stops that VDOT closed last month, I believe it was, as part of a cost-saving measure. Well, over here in the Valley, at least, the local GOP lawmakers all running for re-election have felt like there was some political momentum behind a plan to reopen those rest stops. There are two of the rest stops that were closed are in Augusta County in the area of exit, between exits 227 and 235 in the Weirs Cave area. And so Delegate Steve Landis, who's running for re-election in the 25th district, which actually goes over into Western Albemarle as well, had proposed the idea of using the special session, which the General Assembly had called with Governor Kane yesterday, to deal with the Melendez-Diaz case and the fallout from that. The special session was supposed to be just for that purpose, but then the Arthur Harrison issue came up, so Landis was trying to get an idea in there to, well, let's add one more piece of legislation for discussion. Let's put some legislation in there to reopen these rest stops. The General Assembly, the House of Delegates, actually, was the only one to dispense with this. 82-7 vote yesterday at the beginning of their special session to limit the special session just to the relief in that case of the prisoner who had been held wrongly for 22 years and then also the Melendez-Diaz case. So I call that a stinging rebuke of that approach. Of the seven who voted in favor of allowing other bits of legislation in, five of them, including Landis, were members of the Valley GOP here in the Central Shenandoah Valley. It was interesting to see, though, that I guess they went in with the idea that they might get support from other Republican lawmakers, certainly a Republican majority House of Delegates, and really didn't get any support outside of that, outside of their small sphere.
You wrote in your essay that you published recently how there's so many in the General Assembly, mostly Republicans and some Democrats, who are constantly criticizing VDOT as being too fat and we need to cut back, we don't need to give you any more money, you need to spend the money you have better, and you're not spending it wisely. But when VDOT turns around and comes up with some ideas, okay, let's cut some rest stops that aren't being used very much and we'll save a whole lot of money, well, then they get upset and then they fight it because they're closing rest stops in their district.
That's a frustrating thing to see. You know, people who have been following the transportation debate the last several years in Virginia will know that the constant answer from Republicans, particularly, there are some conservative Democrats who say this too, is that, well, we can't inject any more money into VDOT. We know that VDOT's not meeting its maintenance budget needs. We know that certainly VDOT's having trouble building new roads where new roads are identified and have been planned out and that kind of thing. The Hot Lanes project now is off the table, according to Governor Kane, because of money issues. But we can't worry about injecting money because VDOT needs to be streamlined. And so here VDOT comes with a streamlining process. And the rest areas themselves are a $9 million save. But when you're talking about cutting fat, I mean, if the Department of Transportation judges that that's fat, you know, that's an approach there. It also comes up in an area where we've seen this particularly out of our Republican lawmakers here in the Valley, support of the idea of public-private partnerships in building new roads. You know, that's I think a good idea towards an approach to figuring out ways to finance new roads instead of having the public bear the entire cost. If we can figure out a way to have the private sector come in and be willing to do that. Now, the way they got to do that, you know, we can't just pay them to do that and they call it public-private. We have to figure out a way to do some tolling on the roads. And so that's been something that our Valley legislators here, Republican legislators here, have been backing for a few years, theoretically, that concept. Until Interstate 81 was talked about as a tolling project, and there was a huge outcry of the various industries, the poultry industry in particular, in Rockingham and Augusta, the agriculture industries, the trucking industries here in the Valley, saying, we can't have those roads tolled and still be able to do business. And so all of a sudden, this philosophical construct of, well, we would support public-private partnerships and toll roads to get roads built so that taxpayers get the most bang for their buck, they don't support it in their backyard. There's a commonality of those two things, I think, that really stands out. It tells you that it's less philosophical and more partisan politics.
Less philosophical and more partisan politics. Chris Graham with the Augusta Free Press. I have to agree with you. It's amazing to see these legislators stand up and cry for more public-private partnerships and cutting VDOT fat. But when you start to do those things in their districts, then they get a little upset. It's so much more politics than it is good policy, and politics can get in the way of doing things like saving public money, which is we should be doing more of. Chris Graham in the Valley with the Valley Update. Thank you, sir. Always appreciate it.
Thank you, Coy.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit SevillePodcast.com for more.